Today on the Profitable Tradie podcast, I don't care what anyone says, people respect people who make things happen.
The road to hell is really paved with good intentions. Hey, today's the day I'm going to make some changes and have some improvements. But it doesn't always work out that way.
Life just gets in the way sometimes. Things happen, you get busy, and you're back doing the same old thing.
Business owners can feel really, really disheartened and defeated when they fail to make those changes that they wanted to make.
You have a few cracks at it, and after a while you start to lose belief that you can actually get the thing moving forward.
I should never have given this a go. What a fool I am to think I could pull this off.
There are some other ways to do this, and you can get a lot more change happening, a lot better results, and kind of spin the wheel the other way. Everyone in business wants better results, and that requires them to make changes. But change can be hard. Tune into today's episode where we break down why change is so hard and how to do change in a way that's much easier and will get you the results that you want. You're listening to the Profitable Tradie podcast, where we'll help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button, and let's get started. To the podcast. Well, welcome to the Profitable Tradie podcast. You've arrived.
With
TFJ, your host, and my co-host, Phil Smith.
G'day, everybody.
Looking well this morning, mate.
Yeah, feeling good.
It's good.
Cranking along.
You are. Happy days.
How are you?
I'm exceptional today.
Oh, better than good.
Better than good. Any better, I'd be twins.
Oh, here we go.
Today is an interesting topic. I'm really excited to get into this. What are we getting into, Chief?
Mate, we're talking about the fact that most business owners really struggle with making the behavioural changes required to actually improve their business. You know, a lot of them actually do try. But they struggle with it. You know, it's really hard. And I think everyone knows they need to make changes to make improvements, but, you know, actually making those changes and making them stick is a different story. And I think, you know, the road to hell is really paved with good intentions. Everyone sets out well, like, hey, today's the day I'm going to make some changes and have some improvements. But it doesn't always work out that way. And honestly, business owners can feel really, really disheartened and defeated, when they fail to make those changes that they wanted to make.
Yeah, I mean, everyone does want to do better. I think that's for sure. But life just gets in the way sometimes. Things happen, you get busy, everything piles in, work, family, whatever it is. And you find that those good intentions you had kind of get derailed and you're back doing the same old thing, which is frustrating. I think what you said there about people getting disappointed is a big thing. You have a few cracks at it, and after a while you start to lose belief that you can actually get the thing moving forward.
Yeah,
that is really disheartening, and we do see that a lot. But the thing is, it's understandable, and there are some really valid reasons why a change is so hard, and why probably, you know, as a business owner, when you're trying to make changes, you probably could stop beating yourself up a bit sometimes as well, because you're actually pushing some big rocks uphill, and there are some other ways to do this. You know, there are if you really understand kind of the science of change and the whole psychology of how we make changes, if you really get your head around that, you can actually make dramatic shifts in the results you get, and you can get a lot more change happening, a lot better results, and kind of spin the wheel the other way.
Yeah, which is super exciting. And I'm sure you got a story to kick us off.
I do have a story. I was actually in the gym this morning, which was a struggle, and this is kind of an exercise story. There was a study done by a university, and I forget the exact university, but they took a bunch of people who are overweight, so obese people, and they put them in two groups. And basically they were testing how to get them exercising more and increase their health and well-being. And so the first group, they set them the task of going for a run 5 days a week for 3Ks as a way of getting fit. Anyone who's gone running after not running knows that it's kind of tough. In fact, it's tough even when you do run.
That's for sure.
I've never found it not tough. The second group was set the task of basically just getting off the couch. So instead of just watching TV sitting there, their job was to stand up and walk on the spot for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it was to walk to the letterbox, then it was to walk for 10 minutes, then it was to run for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, until they could get up to the 3Ks required. Now, a really interesting thing happened. The people who were set the 3K run at the start, inevitably, they all failed. They just couldn't make it stick. But after 4 months, a large number of the second group were actually running the 3Ks, which is kind of incredible.
Yeah.
But there is a real reason for that, and it applies to what we're doing today.
From memory, actually, the large number was somewhere like 80-90%. It was crazy. Like, most of these people that had never really run and were actually at quite a serious disadvantage to run 3Ks. Like, I don't know about you, but when I haven't run for a while, 3Ks is daunting even for me, you know. Like, obviously, you can get past it. But
you're a super athlete even, you know.
Oh, yeah, you know what it's, you know what it's like.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. But, you know, like, if you haven't run for a while, it's not easy. It's not an easy distance. And, yeah, all these people that were really, you know, pretty far behind the eight ball with this were getting it done pretty regularly.
So quite a stunning finding.
Massive, massive. And I think it's just that whole power of, you know, small and consistent change so that it's manageable and you can feel the wins, which is huge. And I think if we don't have a strategy like that to actually break down changes made, we can run into some really big problems, right?
Yeah, when we just take off more than we can chew, it takes a lot of energy. You know, we put a lot of energy into something and we don't get the change because we kind of give up, it gets too much. And we feel like we've just, you know, we just wasted time, wasted effort. And that damages your self-esteem, your confidence, your ability in yourself to make changes and to go again. Not only that, you know, you lose respect for yourself, but if you consistently try and make change and put it out there, honestly, some of the people around you are going to start to lose respect for you because they start to see you as a person who is all talk and no show.
Yeah.
Loved ones, colleagues, workers, team members, they lose respect because you just can't walk the talk. And, you know, we all will fail from time to time. That's fine. There's no problem with that, but it's important to reframe it, you know, as feedback rather than just failure.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, honestly, that loss of respect's a big one. It doesn't always look like you think it would. You know, like, sometimes that loss of respect, it's not people going, huh, I knew you wouldn't do it, or, oh, man, you never followed through on anything, or anything like that, really. It doesn't look like that. A lot of the time, this is dressed up almost like the wolf in sheep's clothing, where it might come through a little bit more like, hey, man, it's cool. Like, honestly, that would have been really hard anyway. Like, anyone would have failed at that. Those kinds of things, which are actually platitudes for the fact that it's like they never believed you'd do it. You know, and so they're trying to make you feel okay about the fact that that was unrealistic for you. And basically, hey, don't shoot for the stars anymore. Like, that's dumb. Don't do it. Don't try to make change or improve your business. You can't do it, which actually is just as bad, but it doesn't look that way. So I think
important. I think that's true. They dress it up that way and sometimes they do that because they don't want to make you feel bad.
100%.
But underneath, they are kind of eroding that respect that they had for you.
I listened to a podcast the other day with a pretty overweight person, and he was talking about, you know, actually being called fat. And again, don't want to step on anyone's toes or offend anyone here, but his whole thing was he's extremely overweight, and he said, just say I'm fat, man. Like, he said, it's really hard when you say, oh, I'm fat, I need to lose weight, and people go, no. No, you're just big, man. Like, yeah, you're right. And it's like, that's actually worse because what that's showing is they're trying to make you okay with the fact that you can't change it. Where actually, you know, he's trying to get on his weight loss journey and it's like, just say I'm fat. Like, I'm acknowledging that. Can we all just acknowledge it so I can get on and improve it? And I think it's the same with change made, right? Like, sometimes that lack of respect or, you know, disbelief from other people, it's contagious to you because they make you okay with the fact that they don't believe in you, and then you don't believe in yourself, and then the problem perpetuates, right?
Well, they give you permission for your lack of belief in yourself.
That's right.
And that reinforces your, you know, your lack of confidence.
Yeah.
Which gives you permission to stay on the couch, effectively.
That's right, that's right. And we don't want to be on that business couch.
We don't.
On the other hand, if we do have a good strategy for this, we've got some pretty big upsides.
First thing is, you don't waste time and energy. So the energy you put into change, which is hard, you get rewards from it. That builds your confidence. You feel positive. You feel like you're in control of your destiny, which is absolutely massive. And then people start to respect you as a person who does what they say, a person who takes action, a person who makes things happen.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says. People respect people who make things happen.
100%.
They may give them a hard time, but underneath it's because they actually respect them and almost fear them in a way.
Yeah. Let's talk about why change is so hard, because yeah, I think we've got to acknowledge this.
Change is hard, and when you understand why it's hard and how it's hard and what all the reasons are, I think that makes it much easier for us to actually make changes. And the thing in business is, if you're getting results that you're not happy with, you know, you want to change that. Now, you can't change your business results just by clicking your fingers. It actually requires you to change some things you're doing yourself, which typically is behavior. So changing your behavior, which then will get a different result in your business. So it's about behavior change. And one of the big challenges is what we call a present bias. So we tend to focus on immediate rewards and immediate challenges, and they loom much bigger in our psychology than the long-term rewards or the long-term challenges. And again, if you think about health as a great metaphor here, if you think about weight loss and being healthy, it's easy in the short term to focus on all the challenges, which is like, hey, I've got to put my runners on, I've got to go and sweat, and it's hard, and I have to eat differently, and that's really hard, and I've got to cut down my sugar intake, and that's really hard because it's highly addictive. And so that hardness, that challenge is right in your face, right today, and it seems much bigger than the long-term challenge, which is poor health outcomes, poor energy, and basically dying younger. Mm. And we do a mental gymnastics as we kind of push the long-term stress away. Oh, it's further away, so therefore it's less important.
Yep. I can always do that tomorrow.
I can always do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day. Mm. I've got plenty of time.
Mm.
Well, you know, if you have the attitude of I have plenty of time every day, you won't have plenty of time. It'll run out for you and quicker than you think.
Yeah.
And so the same applies with making business change. It's like, well, I'll just get through these few jobs I've got on.
Oh, how often we hear that.
Yeah.
I'll just get past this big one. And then
this big project. Yeah. Or I've got a busy couple of weeks, or I've got these big projects to price or whatever it is. And it's the same present bias. We're just focusing on the here and now, and we're forgetting about the fact that if we want to make some change to create a business that gives us great lifestyle and profit and a team that we can get away and enjoy vacations and holidays, that's a bit further out in the future. And so we kind of downgrade that relative to the stuff today. So that is a big problem. So it does require us to reset our time horizons.
Mm.
And people who are better at making change are more able to look at the long-term time horizon and understand the cost-benefit analysis of the situation from a long time horizon.
I've got to say, this is particularly bad in present-day society as well. We live in a right-now society. Like, that present bias is reinforced constantly. If you want a pizza, you can jump on your phone and have one delivered within 10 minutes just from a click of the button. You don't even have to pick up the phone and have the 10-minute phone call. It'll be here in 10 minutes, you know. If you want to buy something, you can buy it on Amazon. It'll get delivered immediately. You know, your next day delivery in the States, you got within an hour, depending where you live. You want a date, you don't have to go and meet someone.
You don't have to do the hard work.
No, you can jump straight on your phone and just swipe, you know, like, and there you go. So, like, the thing is, we live in a society where that present bias is not just present, but it's actually reinforced constantly. And so when you actually have to do something that isn't immediate, it's not right now, not only is that uncomfortable, like it always has been since the beginning of time, but it's also highly irregular now. So we've just come to expect that, you know, you have an action and you get the reaction immediately. And unfortunately, some of the best things in life, most of the best things in life, are not immediate reactions. So it really needs a reframe.
That's just the nature of things. The good things take effort and energy.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm reminded of Jim Rohn, the great Jim Rohn. He is dead just now, my man, but he's incredibly wise. And if you ever, you know, listen to any of his old audiobooks, they're fantastic. And he says there's two pains in life. There's the pain of discipline and the pain of regret.
Yeah.
And one weighs in ounces and one weighs in tons. So the pain of discipline weighs in ounces and the pain of regret weighs in tons. What that means is doing stuff and doing what you know you need to and making change is hard, and it takes discipline, and there is a cost, which you have to pay.
Yep.
But if you don't do it, you're going to suffer the pain of regret, and you'll get to a point in your life where that pain is massive.
Yep.
Whether it's, you know, loss of relationships because your business was so overwhelming that fell apart, loss of health because you were chronically stressed, bankruptcy, whatever it is, if you can't address the things that are required to make change, it's huge.
Yeah, 100%. So you just got to choose your heart, really.
Yep.
Next one for me is fear of failure and looking stupid. Like, this is massive as to why it's hard to make change. I know definitely I've felt it. I'm sure you have. Yep. In fact, I know you have. And I'm sure most people listening have. It's like, in order to make change, you need to do stuff you didn't do before. And because you haven't done it before, you're probably not going to be that good at it. And then so what's going to happen is you're going to go and make these changes, trying to make improvements in your business. Honestly, it's probably not going to go perfect. You're probably going to look a little bit silly sometimes, and you'll be worried about who you look silly to. You know, like, do I look silly to my staff? Do I look silly to my friends, my family? You know, are people going to think I'm a dummy? You know, am I going to feel like a dummy? Am I going to feel like I'm not good enough? Like, I should never have given this a go. What a fool I am to think I could pull this off. But the reality is, we tend to forget that actually everybody goes through these same emotions when they make change. And the successful people are literally just the ones that can make that voice shut up. That's it.
Yeah, they just do it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, if you look again back to the running analogy, every runner started off not being a runner. You know, once upon a time, you were a crawler when you're a baby. Everybody had to learn to run. And so doesn't matter when you start doing it, everybody looks silly. You know, and everybody will have that first time they ran 10Ks and that was hard the first time. Maybe they didn't make it. Then 20Ks, 50Ks, you know, even like ultra marathon runners have to build up to it and they all will fail on the way. So that fear of failure and looking stupid, often it's bigger in your own head than it is with other people. And I mean, we see this all the time in business. We see it with our clients, especially. We have a KPI system where our clients obviously submit their financial results and their profit and loss statement, their balance sheet every month. And then we analyze those results and we get back to them and help them make improvements. And honestly, sometimes people don't submit their results. And we know it's usually because they've had a bad month. And it's that fear of, I don't want to show, my coach that I had a bad month, that things didn't go so well, that I didn't get a great result. You know, I don't want to show them that. I'm embarrassed. I'm afraid they'll look stupid, that they'll reprimand me, whatever. But, a lot of that's in our own head. And it's winning that mental battle where you no longer fear failure, you embrace it. That's when you're really able to make meaningful change and get busy winning, really.
Yeah. Even with the KPIs, people feel shamed of their results. And even before that, sometimes people are struggling to get their financial accounts set up properly and they won't submit them. And so nobody can be helped if you don't know.
Yeah.
And it's the same for everything. And I think it ties in this fear of failure and fear of looking stupid is a big thing. You know, if you own a plumbing or electrical or plumbing, glazing, painting, whatever it is, subcontracting type business, we go through school and we're sort of looked on as the blue collar people who weren't, great at school, weren't that book smart, weren't going to go to university. And we already have a little bit of that sense of inadequacy perhaps. And so that really plays out with people being, willing to put themselves out there to fail, to look silly. But it's absolutely critical if you're going to make change because, as you said, you're being asked to go somewhere you've never been before. Of course you don't know how to do it, and that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I had a client just a day or two ago. We were talking about a marketing strategy. He did, Lumpy Mail, which is, highly successful strategy we do. And he'd sent his packs and, he was doing his follow-up and he met with a builder, a general contractor, off the back of these. So really great sales meeting he's got. And the guy said, wow, that was amazing. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I didn't realize, that you guys were this great. And like, that was very professional and all this. And he's like really praising our client. And the client said, oh, look, it's cool to get this feedback because I actually didn't know what I was doing. this is the first time I've tried this. And the builder said, dude, you should do it again. And I was talking to the client, afterwards, and he was saying, I was so scared to send this stuff. I thought I'd look like an idiot and I thought everybody would laugh at me and, these builders would not want to hear from me. But it turns out that, it all worked really well. Ironically, I look back over his pack and he didn't nail it. He actually got a lot of stuff wrong, but it didn't matter. It's the point is he's on his journey. He's learning. He's making changes, making improvements. Next time he does it, it'll be even better again. But I think the thing is like once you start making those changes, you're often scared that you'll look like an idiot. But you'll be surprised how much people actually respect the changes that you're making and the improvements that you're getting. And actually that fear is just that, it's fear.
This is one of the biggest problems with change is worrying about other people's opinions and, letting ourselves be a football of other people's opinions, being kicked around and letting our emotions be determined by other people's opinions. Mm. What other people think of me is none of my business.
Yeah.
And most of the time they're not even thinking of you, to be honest.
That's right.
And so we see this a lot. So if you're able to just, let them own that and just do your thing, it makes a huge difference to your life because you're not pushed and pulled back and forward. And particularly for those of you listening, a little bit more of the people pleaser variety, which is a lovely thing. You'll be an awesome person to hang out with, but you'll find that you tend to jump to the beat of other people's drum. Well, you've got to let that stuff go because it's going to make it very difficult for you to change.
That's right. All right, what do we got next?
Well, this is kind of obvious, but it's difficult to think about sometimes, is that, change itself actually does create more stress. You're already in a situation where you want to make change, which means things aren't quite where you want them to be. So you're already feeling some stress, or maybe you're really wanting to do better. Whatever it is, both those situations require a little bit of stress. But you've got to do more, and it hurts. It's extra effort. It's pushing the ball uphill even more. you know, it's like climbing a mountain, a massive mountain in a day, you know, just trying to do it all at once. You feel like that. And so there's more stress.
Yeah.
And there is only so much stress and effort that somebody has.
Yeah.
So what often happens is we just, you know, we try to climb the whole mountain in one day.
Yeah.
Frankly, that's setting yourself up for failure.
Mm.
So it does create more stress, and we just got to acknowledge that and then try and do it in a way that's manageable.
Yeah, that's right, and be kind to ourselves through the process.
That's right.
It's about increments. It's not about nailing it in one go. And I think the next thing is you know, lack of support and accountability makes change really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, business is overwhelming enough as it is. It's lonely enough as it is. You know, not to mention when you're now making changes and you're outside your comfort zone and you're really trying to make improvements and be better than you were before. And that does come with some failure and some setbacks and some learnings. And, you know, at that point, that feeling of overwhelm and that feeling of loneliness is exacerbated. And if you don't have any support or accountability, you have no one to hold your feet to the fire, to tell you to keep going, to keep pushing, try again, you know, to encourage you, like, hey, yeah, that didn't work perfectly, but look at the benefits you did have, you know, for example, or even just someone to debrief to, you know, someone to celebrate your wins with. If you don't have anyone like that in your life or in your circle, you know, it can be really hard. And every time you make change, you feel the defeat more than you see the light, which is, well, or see the progress.
And some of us are blessed with the partners we marry who are really supportive and really champion us from the corner. And some of us, unfortunately, don't have that situation. We might have husbands, wives, partners who actively sabotage us, or, you know, say, why are you doing that? Or that's a silly idea. I don't understand that, but it happens a lot.
Well, if I can jump in on that, if you do have a partner like that, please don't begrudge them. I think the thing to understand is
that's right.
They're actually worried about you. Like, the reason they're saying, why are you doing that? Or don't do that, it's stupid. Or, like, what are you up to? Is actually because they're worried about you. They're trying to protect you. They're trying to wrap you in the cotton wool to save you from the failure, most likely.
Or they're trying to save themselves. It makes them feel inadequate. Either way, it's kind of a cry for help. They're not trying to, most of the time. Very few people are just manipulative clowns.
Yeah, it's possible, but it's less likely. Yeah. I'd say more the point is, it's just, it does make things hard, you know, like, and sometimes they're doing it, you know, completely subconsciously.
Yeah, and if you're in a group of business owners that you know who are all at the same level as you, are the same challenges as you, you know, that's probably a problem.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that person who you can see who's done it, who can push you on or encourage you to do better, because they've got the same problem you do.
Yeah, all your mates are saying, no point in marketing. You know,
well, that's a stupid idea.
Yeah, that's stupid. That doesn't work. Nobody uses it.
It's a waste of money.
Yeah, marketing doesn't work, bro. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
And it's like, what they're really trying to say is that they don't understand marketing. They're not doing it, and therefore they don't want you to do it because that might make them look stupid. That's what's really going on in their head.
So, yeah, that support is important. I think another thing that we underestimate is the actual physical environment that we have and the triggers in the environment. So, you know, when you need to make change to your business, you want to improve your results. As we've said, you need to make behavioral change, and behavioral change does require time and effort, but it requires time, and that time is for learning and implementing new things. And so one of the biggest challenges we see is the lack of time. You know, for a business owner already tapped out, already adding a bit more stress because you're needing to make some change. So time is critical. So it's things like, you know, if you have no office, or you have an office which is open plan and anyone can talk to you at any time, that's probably going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, if you have your phone on you 24/7, then you're going to be interrupted all the time. So it's about, you know, switching that out. Environment, like, I have a mate who's a bodybuilder. He's meticulous about his diet, shall we say, more meticulous than most of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says willpower is a joke. No one has enough willpower. You know, if there's lollies in front of you for a day, eventually someone, you'll take some.
Mm.
And so we'll be at lunch or dinner, and there'll be a bowl of chips on the table. And, you know, I've heard him say, hey, have you guys all finished with these chips? And he just gets a cup of water and pours on them, because he knows if they sit there, he's going to start eating them.
Yeah.
And that's the environment type thing that, you know, can really make it difficult for us to stick to what we want to.
Yeah. I mean, you'd never eat someone else's chips, right, Tony?
No, but I would the creme brulee.
So just for all our listeners here, Tony will always make sure someone else orders chips when we go out for lunch or dinner so that he can eat them, but he won't order them.
I prefer French fries.
Well, you prefer someone else's chips. That's why you prefer
French fries.
You don't want your one, you want my one.
I quite like the curly ones.
Yeah, you do, you do.
They're nice.
Anyway, so when this friend pours the water on the chips, that's like devastation for you.
It is.
You're like, no, I was going to take some. Yeah. And then I think the last one is just those habits and neural pathways. So like realistically, when we're making these changes, it is about creating a habit out of those changes and making it replicatable. And when we think about those neural pathways, it's much like a muscle that you need to work and flex and, you know, build in order to keep a habit going. So whenever you're doing something, you're building a neural pathway. You know, I take this action, I get this reaction. You're learning how to do an activity or a skill, and you need to strengthen that through practice. So, you know, basically it's kind of like grooves in the road. If you think about a really old school, old timey medieval road, and they have the wheel ruts, right? Like where the wheels have worn ruts into the road. And the thing is that, you know, you kind of have to stay in those ruts. And if you stay in them, the cart almost drove itself, you know. You go outside of that and you've got to create a whole new wheel rut over time. And that's essentially what you're doing is when you're doing a new skill, making a change, you've got to, you know, spend some time building that wheel rut, you know, creating a pathway, you know, and creating that neural synapse and strengthening it. And if you do that, the skill or the behavior can become automatic and ingrained, and, you know, you can replicate it. It actually becomes easier and easier and easier, and you can build on it. The first time's the hardest.
And it's tough. You've got to keep at it because that groove is very powerful.
That's right. But it'll never be as hard as it was last time.
That's right.
So I think that's the point, is just making that habit. So
that's some reasons why it's difficult to make change. And so that's, you know, to understand the psychology of change is hard, and there's some stuff to it. But you can switch this around. The key thing is smaller the better. So bite-sized chunks. I was listening to a podcast, Dr. Aditi Nurika, and she's like works with stress and all this sort of stuff. It's actually on the Diary of a CEO podcast. Great podcast, that. And she talked about the rule of two, because she sees people trying to make change and they take too much. They try and do too much and they get overwhelmed. The stress is too high. The change is too big. It's just too much. And so she employs the rule of two, which is only ever change two small things at a time. Maximum of two small things. And so that's like, rather than the obese person having to run 3Ks, you know, which is great, that'd be an awesome outcome. It's just too much.
Yeah, not manageable.
You know, the rule of two is like, I can stand up off the couch, number one, and number two is I can walk on the spot for 5 minutes. Mm. That's all I do. And that's huge. So focus on small, small gains.
Yeah, and I think building on that, you know, we want to focus on really small, achievable changes, not big change. So like you said, it's not even with how many, it's also the size of the change. So, you know, again, if we're trying to take on that whole mountain in one go, well, you're probably not going to. Let's just make it to checkpoint one. You know, if you want to be able to run 3Ks, it's like, well, let's start with I run a lamppost, walk a lamppost. Maybe I get to the point where I can run 3/4 of the way around the block. You know, start with one side and then build to two sides, start up to three sides, and eventually you can run around the whole block, you know. So
maybe even smaller, maybe I need to go to the shoe shop and buy some runners.
Yeah, well, that could be number one, you know. But again, it's you need to break down the task so that you can get to small and achievable milestones that you actually achieve. There's a saying in Australia, if you start chasing a goanna, you have to catch the goanna. So for those listening that are not Australian, a goanna is like a big lizard. But basically what they're getting at is you need to set yourself a goal that you can achieve so that you achieve it, so that you come back for more. And so again, rather than going to the gym 5 days a week right off the bat, you know, let's just start with, you know, maybe I walk for 5 minutes and I do that, build up to 3 times a week I walk for 5 minutes, build up to I walk for 5 minutes 3 times a week and I go to the gym one time for half an hour and build up and build up and build up. And eventually, you know, you can be going all the time, but you have to make that, you know, those small achievable changes so that you actually achieve them.
Yeah, and here's what we've found in our coaching program. You know, we have an onboarding process. Which is cool. But what we found is we were trying to get people in the first sort of 12 weeks of working on their business, we're trying to get them to do way too much.
Yeah.
We thought it sounded easy, but that's obvious because we've done it.
Well, it's easy for us. That neural pathway is well built.
Is built. And so, you know, we'd get people to get their full financials together and a default calendar together and a whole bunch of other stuff. And some people could do that, but a lot of people couldn't do it all. And what was happening, they were feeling overwhelmed and frustrated and a little bit downheartened. And so we've stripped it all out and made it very simple. You know, in 1 week, all we do is look at how we can get a price increase. The next week, rather than creating a whole calendar for the whole week, it's like, how can you find 4 hours just to work on your business? That's all you need to do. Just leave the rest of it. And so those small incremental things make a huge difference, because what they do, as you said, is they build a new neural pathways. I need some new neural pathways right there.
The old tongue twister.
And when you celebrate those small wins, you feel good, you feel positive. You're like, actually, I can control this. I'm in charge of my destiny. I can do this.
Mm.
And so it spits it around. The new neural pathway gets enhanced, because when there's positive emotion associated with something, that lays down more stickiness to those synapses.
Yep.
And then eventually what you find is you're doing a whole lot more by just starting small.
Well, it gets really easy to make that first bit, and so going over it a bit further becomes easy as well. And what we're doing then is we're making those small incremental 1% improvements, but doing them again and again and again. So, if we make a 1% improvement every month, then that's cool. It's 1% every month, but that's 13% over a year. It's 27% over 2 years. It's 43% improvement over 3 years. The compounding effect of these improvements is actually huge, and you end up going a long way. It's funny, I actually had going back to the workout analogy, I had a conversation with a friend last night, and she was saying that she did this new workout from an online coach, and she said that it's supposed to take an hour. The first time she did it, she got through about 20% of it in an hour, and was like, the hell, this doesn't take an hour, this is bullshit. But she's got to the point where the more she tried to do that same workout, she can now get that whole 1 hour workout done in 45 minutes, and it was literally just she had to get used to how to do it. And build up some fitness and some endurance to be able to keep going and do it faster. But it's actually the same workout, but it's gone faster and faster and faster, and now she actually does almost double that workout in her 1 hour, which is pretty amazing. And it's the same with improvements in your business. Just don't aim to be able to back cost all your jobs, trend them by types of work and client, cross-reference them against all of these different factors, and then figure out your most profitable job before you even know how to read your profit and loss statement. Pair it right back. Just do the 1% now. Tomorrow we do another 1%, and we do another 1%, then we do another, and before you know it, you've come a long way.
Yeah, and you feel good about it. That's the key, because if you're not feeling like you are winning, then the change doesn't stick, and that's critically important.
Yeah.
And associated with that is you can support the change by actually changing your physical environment to own your time. And so you've got to be quite forceful about this. You have to take control of your life. I mean, it's your life. Think about the long term as well. And so that might be things like, if you need time, work out of your office for 4 hours a week.
Mm.
Just go somewhere where nobody can contact you. Give your cell phone to someone else for a day.
Yeah, it'll change your life.
You can hear people sweating.
Yeah. Or even better, get a new cell phone number and have all the work calls go through that.
Yeah.
Change your phone number. Like, you can, if you change your physical environment and create a bit of space, it'll give you the time to work on the behaviors and the learning that you need to make the change that needs to happen to get the results that you need.
Totally. And I think the last one for me is support and accountability. So, get some people around you that are going to cheerlead you, that are going to, kick your butt, that are going to keep you on task, that are going to help you to celebrate the wins, remind you of them, kick you when you don't go to the gym, when you don't go for a run, when you don't run a cash flow forecast, when you don't back cost your jobs, when you don't stick to your default calendar. Have people that are going to support and people that are going to hold you accountable. And keep them close in your circle. Tell them what you're doing. Tell them about the changes you're making and the results you want to see, and just, help them keep you steady along your journey, because, like you said, willpower doesn't exist. You can be the strongest, most mentally tough person in the world, but, having a team around you is always going to make you better. So being able to do that is going to help you make the changes stick. So I think we've given a lot of stuff here. Let's land this plane.
Yeah, so making changes, we said, it can be hard, and for a lot of people it's terribly hard, and it makes them feel very disheartened and lacking in motivation when they don't make it stick. But it turns out the way you were trying to make change was actually part of the problem. You were trying to do too much. You were biting off more than you can chew. So the key to successful change is to chunk it down to small, digestible bits and just keep chewing. And if you do little bits often, you'll make massive changes. It'll rewire your brain. You'll feel great about yourself, and the results, they'll flow through to your business and your life. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later. Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Great business-to-business relationships are critical for the long-term success of your business. The thing most people don't realize is if you don't work the relationship, if you don't nurture it, you don't measure it, and have the tough conversations, those relationships can die and you don't even realize it. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.